Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever heard of a naturalist before? On our show, we talk to lots of guests who are naturalists. These people love nature and want to spend time outside learning more about everything the natural world has to offer. They ask questions like, why do birds sing? Or how old is that tree anyways? Naturalists take care of the world around them and are always trying to find answers to their questions. Now, with an intro like this, you might think that today's guest is a naturalist. And you're right, but she wasn't always a naturalist. To start, Paula Wyman was a writer looking for a beautiful place to build her new house.
Well, my husband and I had been looking for many years for a place in the country. The idea was a small farmhouse with a small piece of land where I could have a few sheep, where I would plant this native meadow, and I would have my writing shed next to the meadow, and I'd watch the birds and bees flying around.
That sounds very nice. I wouldn't mind living in a beautiful place like that. After some looking, Paula and her husband found a large piece of land with an amazing view.
Below me, there were rolling hills, open meadow, surrounded by steep forested slopes, oak hickory forest. And beyond that meadow, you could see the Blue Ridge silhouetted. It was quite a spectacle.
Those are the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia. Even though the land was beautiful, it wasn't the peaceful native meadow Paula had been imagining. No one had taken care of this land for years, and it was full of overgrown plants.
It was jungle-like vegetation. The plants were over our heads, dense, green, and at that time in August, it was full of these yellow flowers that were over 6 feet high. I felt like this place needs me.
So Paula set off to learn how to take care of her meadow and turn it into a healthy ecosystem. The meadow had some problems.
Well, I never knew that trees could be bad, that there were invasive trees.
Invasive trees, or invasive species in general, are when plants or animals are introduced to a new area and then make it hard for the native plants and animals, the ones who had always been there. Invasive species make it hard for native plants to thrive in the environment. Some invasive species grow too fast and take over entire areas. That's what was happening in Paula's meadow.
Something called the Paulownia or princess tree, they drop millions of seeds and they tend to take over. The autumn olive is a shrub that forms thickets.
Thickets are when lots of plants and bushes grow super close to one another and tangle together. When thickets are made up of invasive plants, they choke out other native plants.
Multiflora rose has these huge thorns, and it's really hard to cut. It's very dense. Mile-a-minute vine, which grows 6 inches a day and smothers everything. Japanese honeysuckle snakes through the field and up trees and strangles tree trunks. Japanese stilt grass, which on my land grows 3 or 4 feet tall and smothers plants, hides plants, takes over the forest floor. And then you've got deer. We have a lot of deer. They are rampant because there are no predators. So we have way too many deer, and they eat all the native plants.
Oh dear. Between all of the invasive trees, bushes, and even the deer, Paula had a lot of work to do. She talked to plenty of experts, but she was worried she wouldn't be able to help make this meadow a healthy ecosystem.
I was looking for somebody to come and tell me, here's what you do. 1, 2, 3, and then you'll have your native meadow, and it will stay there forever and ever. The more I spoke with experts, the more I realized there wasn't one right answer. And whatever I do, there are trade-offs. I help one thing and risk hurting another thing. So that made me feel like a bad naturalist.
It's hard when you want to help, but you don't know exactly what to do. Still, Paula knew she had to act to help her meadow. And so she did something kind of dramatic. she let some people set the meadow on fire.
For the first burn, they made me stand pretty far away. I was probably about a quarter mile across the meadow. I could see the whole hillside where the firefighters were gathering in a wide circle. They had bulldozed a fire line all around this few acres where they were planning to burn. And as they're walking in, you see the fire consuming this area that they had marked off. Really didn't take that long for smoke to fill that area so that the whole field looked like it had disappeared in a cloud of smoke.
You might be thinking, oh no, why are they lighting the meadow on fire? But I promise, this fire isn't a bad thing at all. In fact, it was the firefighters who set the field on fire in the first place, on purpose.
My goal was to bring back native plants to the meadow. The meadow, when I came upon it, was a mixture of invasive plants, lots of invasive plants, because native plants in Virginia and in lots of places are fire adapted, meaning they evolved in the presence of fire. They need periodic burning in order to grow and reproduce more successfully. They'll produce more seeds, more fruit. They'll grow more quickly. They'll be healthier if they're periodically burned. And for the non-native plants here, that is mostly not the case. Burning mostly does not give them an advantage.
I get it. The burning gets rid of the invasive plants, but because the native Virginia plants are used to fire, they'll come back stronger than ever after the burn. And once native plants come back, a bunch of other native species will follow.
The reason I wanted to tip the balance toward native plants in the meadow was to create habitat for native wildlife that was otherwise losing habitat for birds that were in decline. Grassland birds are in severe decline. Pollinators, butterflies, bees that are in decline. Native plants, wildlife, and insects support each other. They evolved together over millions of years, and they feed each other. So to maintain that balance, I needed to encourage the growth of native plants, and fire would do that.
So with some help from the fire department, Paula set the meadow on fire.
It was very exciting. In fact, the second burn that they did, for some reason, they didn't make me stand as far away. So I got very close. My eyes were watering, and you could smell the smoke and the fire in the air. I was close enough that when a flame jumped up 15 feet in the air, which is kind of unusual for a low heat winter burn, I stepped back, just sort of automatically thinking, oh, am I too close? I don't know.
Just so you know, Paula trusted the fire department, and she would have never started a fire like this on her own. After the burning, Paula still had a lot of work to do. She had to keep on weeding and pulling out trees to keep invasive species out of the meadow. And her meadow is super big.
I can't possibly keep up with all of it. I have this 15-pound weed wrench that's as tall as me that I lug around in the meadow looking for seedlings and small saplings that are bad, especially after a rain when the ground is wet, and then I can pull them. I pull them up with this wrench that wraps around the base of the tree, and then you lean on it like a lever, and it will pull it out of the ground after some effort.
Pulling out invasive species feels like a never-ending task for Paula.
I remember it was like 95 degrees. I was sweating through my clothes, and I was wearing long sleeves and long pants because of the ticks. And it was this cathartic experience when I got it all up, and behind it, I discovered all this goldenrod.
Goldenrod is a native plant, so that's good for the meadow.
Well, sadly, I came back later to also discover a bunch of garlic mustard in the same place.
garlic mustard is invasive, so that's not good for the meadow.
That's the next thing I'll have to tackle in that spot. But at least I got that one thing. And yes, it's going to come back probably 7 more years. I'll have to keep doing it in the dead of August, sweating through my clothes. But I'm willing to do that.
Paula's willingness to work super hard for her meadow is paying off. She can see the result of her labor as new species come back to the meadow.
It was a spring day. The meadow was green, but there wasn't a lot that was flowering yet. Things were just starting to get tall again. And I looked up and there was a bird hovering above this boulder, just maybe at about 12 feet, 13 feet height. And it was almost stationary. The tips of its wings were fluttering as if that was what it was doing to keep itself in that one spot. And it dove down behind the rock, so I couldn't see it after that. But it was the most amazing thing, and it was an American kestrel. An American kestrel is a small raptor that's in decline in this area, and it's been the subject of a lot of research to try to figure out why it's in decline. So what I saw was hunting behavior. The kestrel does this thing where it hovers and it flutters the tips of its wings, and then it dives down at its prey, which might have been a vole, because there are thousands of voles in the meadow. The vole is a small rodent about the size of a mouse. And in that moment, I thought, okay, I'm doing something right. I'd never seen a kestrel there before. It was one of my goals to bring back these meadow birds. And knowing that it was a bird that was in decline and seeing it there was just the absolute best feeling.
As Paula has learned to care for the land in her backyard, her appreciation and love for the natural world increases every day.
I definitely lose track of time when I'm in the meadow. Being in the meadow, being in the woods, even just looking out the window and watching the juncos pick seeds out of the ragweed plants in front of my house makes me feel like I'm more connected with everything.
Being connected with nature is what makes someone a good naturalist. And after all of her work in her meadow, I think Paula is an amazing naturalist. As you spend time outside, caring for and learning from the natural world, you can become a good naturalist too.
Hello, parents. I'm Marcus Smith, and I host Constant Wonder, the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. Everything you've just heard actually comes originally from Constant Wonder, the Source podcast, which happens to have some great material for kids, too, but as a grown-up, you're going to enjoy the original extended episode on Constant Wonder. It's devoted to Paula Wyman and her journey into the world of conservation. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. And the episode to look for is titled, Is There Such a Thing as a Bad Naturalist? As you listen, we think you might develop an appetite for more than just one episode. As a series, Constant Wonder is an ongoing quest for awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. Whoever said adults don't have time for wonder? A great way to connect to a world full of awe and wonder is to subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.